Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck. I am so delighted to be with you today. And this is a special day because it's a day before my birthday. Woohoo! Yay! And the absolute word will be for my birthday. So that's my tease for today. And in the midst of all of that, it is always a beautiful day in my consciousness. And I'm here with my friends and buddies. Hi, guys.
Hey, happy birthday, first of all, a day early for the recording date that we're doing this. And this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton here in Durham, North Carolina. And it is another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And happy birthday again. And this is the Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. And it's very definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well. And as you know, Cher and I are the co-founders of a hybrid Unity online ministry called the Unity Center for Universal, youuniversalprosperity.com.
Which shortcut is ucfyp.com. And we are events driven and we invite you to join us and stuff.
Yeah, and folks, if you're at all connected and get emails from Bill and Cher, they are launching some new programs this coming Sunday, February 7th. And so you're probably listening to this after that, but you can still go look for the programs. And why don't you just tell what each of those are just very briefly?
Okay, sure. They are mentorship programs because a lot of people have indicated they want more one-on-one time, really working on their spiritual enrichment and growth. And so we have a package called Spiritual Awakening, which is really helping people learn to question unquestioned answers and get their spiritual practice in order and re-language the way they think and talk and moving from religious to spiritual and growing that spiritual mindset.
And then we've got the Sacred Path, a mentorship program, which is a more advanced program, and it's about achieving self-realization in this lifetime.
Capital S.
And what you said reminded me of a little cartoon the three of us have seen on Facebook lately, that religion is like a fish in a fishbowl and spirituality is like a fish in the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
Was such a beautiful image. So here we are and we are romping again and remembering that this program is basically about spirituality, pseudo-spirituality, science, and pseudoscience, and the massive blur that's between them. because Bill has said more than once that something that's woo-woo today, tomorrow might be hard science. And so right. You always got to be open to that. And today we decided to do a program that's a bit of a deep dive on prosperity in that we're going to look at a few details that often get missed, mostly because people reading the prosperity book by Charles Fillmore don't have a good grasp of how to interpret his language. So we're going to take a deep dive and there might be a few little tidbits or morsels that Bill and Cher are going to layer in from their prosperity program. So let's get romping, Cher.
All right. This is an exciting topic. Everybody wants prosperity and wants to understand it. So hopefully this will help you refocus your thinking around it. So the first quote comes from Charles Fillmore's book, Prosperity. And he says, "That part of the Lord's Prayer, which reads, 'Give us this day our daily bread,' is more correctly translated, 'Give us today the substance of tomorrow's bread.' By prayer, we accumulate in our mind ideas of God as the substance of our supply and support. There is no lack of this substance in infinite mind. Regardless of how much God gives, there is always an abundance left. God does not give us material things, but mind substance, not money, but ideas. Ideas that set spiritual forces in motion so that things begin to come to us in our consciousness as thoughts and feelings by the application of the law."
Yes.
Lots to unpack there.
Yes, there's a lot to unpack. And we decided, or actually I decided before the program, that maybe we'd be best to read the whole paragraph and kind of get the whole context. And now we're going to do it pretty much sentence to sentence. And we will be updating it to 2021 and hopefully making it applicable in 2021. So Cher, why don't you do that first sentence?
Okay, so the first sentence relates back to the Lord's Prayer, and he says that part of the Lord's Prayer which reads, "Give us this day our daily bread," is more correctly translated, "Give us today the substance of tomorrow's bread."
All right, so this is an amazing update of the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to update it again. But the biggest shocking thing there is it's not "give us this day our daily bread," it's "give us today the substance so that we can produce tomorrow's bread." That's a huge shift. And the other word that we have challenges with is the word "give." We're asking God to give us substance. And God can't give us any more substance than we already have. And in fact, if we go with the idea that God is not anthropomorphic, God doesn't give. God simply is.
Right. So it's our awareness of the substance. We open our awareness to it.
And to help people not go the anthropomorphic route, one thing Cher and I suggest they think about is to see God, G-O-D, as an acronym for example, a global omnipresent divinity.
Yes.
Which is more definitely anthropomorphic, more principle than a man in the sky with human characteristics.
Exactly. And so it's really the idea of claiming substance now. Yeah. And that's an appropriate for this paragraph, but in our everyday life, we want to be claiming something more specific, because substance is really another synonym for God in a way, or another synonym for principle. So in the revealing word, substance is defined as the divine idea of the underlying reality of all things. Well, what's the underlying reality of all things? God. Principle. Law. So it's essentially a synonym for God. Okay, you want to go on?
Okay, so by prayer, we accumulate in our mind ideas of God as the substance of our supply and support.
All right, so here we go again. So God doesn't have ideas. So ideas of God is another anthropomorphism. God is idea. And you've heard me say many times on this program that principle and idea are interchangeable in this context. So by prayer, we accumulate in our mind ideas, divine ideas or principles as the substance of our supply and support. Many of you have heard us say or heard or read in Charles Fillmore that God is our supply. That's like saying God is substance, because what's supplied? Divine ideas and principles. But are they supplied? No, because they are already innately us. They're inherent. We may not be aware of them, but they're there, folks.
Absolutely. And I'm guessing that the prayer that Charles refers to is affirmative prayer, not a petitioning prayer.
Exactly. And we have to remember that Charles says prayer makes man master of all creative ideas. Well, what are creative ideas? We're not talking about a relative human ideas. Every divine idea, every principle has creative potential in it. And so we are master over those. Okay, go ahead. Okay.
So there is no lack of this substance in infinite mind.
Well, doesn't that make sense?
That's a duh moment.
That's
right?
A duh. That's why we borrow the term from quantum physics, infinite field of potential and possibility. Those divine ideas, those principles are pure potential, waiting for us to act upon them.
Yeah, one of my thoughts is there is this field of infinite potential, but actually each of us is a field of infinite potential.
We are, because our consciousness, we are able to have an infinite number of thoughts, ideas, feelings, images, the whole works. Mm-hmm. And why wouldn't we be? Some of the new language I'm hearing today and some of the recordings I listen to is that we are local and the infinite potential of the universe is non-local. So talking about the non-local universe, and we are a, they say a local expression of it, which I have trouble with because it makes sounds like it's expressing us.
Yeah.
And I'm beginning to think it's neither. It's simultaneous, maybe.
Yeah, and instantaneous when you think about it. And also something we like about how Paul, our buddy, adds all caps to some of Fillmore's writings to really differentiate the meanings and the higher awareness of what we're talking about here. And the example is just what we've read about infinite mind. Both of those are all caps. And what we like about that is particularly mind is different from brain. The mind formulates, the brain simply records or registers what the mind formulates. That's the difference. The brain is not the same thing as the mind.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because there are a lot of scientists and a lot of people think the word mind and brain are synonyms. And to them, they are. And we've got to notice that. And then we have to be sensitive about that and make the distinction. That's why I'm moving away from the word mind and moving towards consciousness for our relative mind. And I haven't landed on anything for infinite mind because it's not a mind. And for me, infinite potential works better right now.
Right.
It is infinite potential. Yeah. And we mold that infinite potential with the infinite potential of our own local consciousness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, because we really all are multi-storied, multi-dimensional beings in human form.
And so the point this little sentence is making is if you have an infinite field of potential that's made up of substance, that is substance, and we could say it's made up of principle and or divine ideas and law, well, that's infinite.
Mm.
You can't ever use it up. Even a little eye idea, a relative idea, you can't use up. The idea of table has infinite potential.
Right.
It's only limited by the human mind.
Right. Because you may decide to give it up, but that's not the same as using it up. Like you can try to make a table to a point where you say, forget this, I'm going to have somebody else do it.
So there's a meme. So why don't you repeat that?
I don't know if I can. I just came out all of a sudden, but you can't, like you might decide to give it up, but you cannot use it up.
But you cannot.
Divine idea. That is good, isn't
it? So write that down. That is a great meme. And look at you go, Cher. I remember in 2014 when we started doing this, you were a little bit reluctant, but now you are full blown.
Hey, working on it. I'm a work in progress.
Yes. Okay. The next one, while you're writing that, I'll read the next sentence. Regardless of how much God gives, there is always an abundance left. So that's kind of, we could probably create another meme around that. No matter how many times, how much you use principle or divine idea, there is always an abundance left. In fact, what's left is its entirety.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Its entirety, which is pretty phenomenal.
And people really do need to think about that so they can get that. And I'll put parens around get that because that really is the truth.
Yes.
And quantum physicists would actually agree with that.
Yeah. So can you ever use up a law of physics? No.
Wait, no.
You can't use the law of gravity. It's always there, right?
It's always there. And can you ever use up the value of pi, 3.12, which we would call a constant? No.
I thought you meant that coconut cream pie.
Sorry. Yeah. So just to clue you guys in, I gave myself a piece of coconut cream pie for my birthday. It's amazing. I say it's amazing because half of it's left. Yay. Okay. So going on, go ahead, Cher.
I want to make another little comment here because I think that it's important to realize that the more I've thought about it with the law of gravity, even though we never use it up and it's always there, the more we understand it, the more effectively we can use it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is really, really important, because it's through our use we learn more about it.
Right. And the more we learn, I just think about acrobats and how they learn to use gravity for their benefit, you know, to do amazing things that we could all do if we understood how to do that. But instead, we just fall on our face because haven't worked it. And I think the same thing's true here, that whatever the idea is, not only is it always there, but we could use it more effectively the more we understand it.
Absolutely.
And I've got to say this, folks, and I'm sure we've got to move on while we're talking about gravity. The gravity of religious dogma keeps us in the box.
Oh. Yes. Yes. So that's why I always talk about reaching escape velocity. Reach escape velocity from the gravitas of our old belief system.
Amen.
Because the gravitas is a word that means it gets importance, right? So I'm really proud of myself. I thought of that one, gravity. That's all. I've been using that for quite a while, but yeah.
You know, that just tickled another thing that we put in our Monday musings, talking about velocity and all of that, is when the rockets are launched, there's a term called negative return. That Houston will relay to the astronauts that you've reached a point where there's no coming back.
Yeah.
You have to keep going. And they'll say negative return. You've reached negative return. And what we want to think about is, when do we reach that point that we can never go back to our old beliefs?
Yeah. So, and for me, that would be escape velocity.
Absolutely. Exactly. That's what made me think of the term is, wow, because that's when we take off. That's when we quit thinking about, I can always go back. It's not even a thought anymore.
Yep.
Negative return, escape velocity, we're gone.
And there's another detail about this that you've definitely inferred. And that is when the rocket reached that negative return, it's still not completely free from the gravity of the Earth. So when you reach that point, you might still be aware of those old belief systems, but now there's no going back.
Nice, right. Nice.
Yeah, that's a great metaphor. I think you ought to write that one up, Cher.
Okay,
I'm giving you all these great ideas. you can give me a royalty at some point.
We'll put it together and do a co-authored book with all three.
Right. Okay, let's go on.
Okay, so God does not give us material things. Is that where I am? Am I in the right place? Mm-hmm. Okay. God does not give us material things, but mind substance.
Now, you wish he said, God does not give us material things, but divine ideas or divine principles.
And I wish he hadn't said, God does not give us.
So this paragraph needs to be reworked without the word give, that's for sure.
Go ahead. Anyway, does not give us material things, but mind substance. And here's what that means. Not money, but ideas. Ideas that set spiritual forces in motion so that things begin to come to us in our consciousness as thoughts and feelings by the application of the law.
Yes. And so...
did you add that in our consciousness as thoughts and feelings?
I did. That's why it's in brackets.
I wanted to clarify that for the listeners.
Yes. Because without that, come to us could be misinterpreted as things or money coming to us, right?
Right. Yeah.
And I love that he ends that with by the application of law. Well, how do we grow ideas in our mind? By using mind idea expression or the law of mind action, thoughts held in mind with feeling produce more and similar thoughts held in mind with the same sort of feeling. And we're using the power of imagination to shape the substance of our mind, which is thoughts and feelings. And so I'm having a little internal giggle here that we somehow thought that we wouldn't have enough material today and we got one paragraph done. I hope you're going away with the idea that God doesn't give us anything. They're already ours. They're inherent. They're innate. And for me, they are God. And that substance is a synonym for every divine idea and every principle. And since substance is our supply, then supply is another synonym for God. And those are important things to remember as we're thinking about prosperity consciousness. Okay, Cher, shall we shift over and do the absolute word for today?
Yes, and we're going to do your birthday one, right?
Yeah, we're doing my birthday. And so I'm going to say it. The absolute word is based on Sunday messages appearing in Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. Subscribe to the absolute word by emailing me at alberthasselbeck@gmail.com. I just wanted to plug this week. So this doesn't come from Sunday. This comes from Saturday, February 6th. And the word is perfect for me this day. Thoughtful.
So I would like to read this because it's your birthday, and I want you to just listen to these words that you created that describe you so perfectly. It comes from Saturday, February 6th, and the word is thoughtful. I am thoughtful with all my words and actions. I genuinely appreciate the thoughtful, caring gestures shown to me. These may come as words of encouragement, a note of appreciation, or another's patience when I'm feeling anxious or upset. I feel valued and heard. Moved to reciprocate, I express kindness and consideration to others. I invest time to contemplate the likely consequences of all I say and do. I remember that as I receive, I also give. I open my mind and heart to my divinity in order to share understanding and love. I choose to be a better listener. I remain mindful that we are each divine, have value, and deserve to be heard. My thoughtfulness is its own reward. I find joy in sharing myself in the way a flower shares its sweet fragrance. I am thoughtful with all my words and actions.
Yeah, that was beautifully said. Thank you. And a lot of this was just what was in the Daily Word for February 6th. So it was really, really well written. And I want to emphasize something here. It's important that people feel valued. So will you sometime today or sometime this week tell somebody how much they're valued? Because people need to know they matter in this world, especially today. And Bill and Cher, I so value our friendship, all the ways seen and unseen that you support me, and just such a rich relationship. Thank you very much. And we value our listeners. Thank you for listening. After all, we do this for you, but we also do it for ourselves. Let's be clear about that. And for now, this is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, almost a year older, saying goodbye now.
And this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton. And Paul, we value you as well and all the mentoring that you have done with us and our growth as Unity ministers, but most of all, our wonderful friendship that we've created. And we do value all you listeners, and we just want you to know how much we love you.
Okay. Yeah, and I agree. And this is the Reverend Doc Bill Holton thoughtfully alvida zaning you until our next podcast.